all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wasota. It's another beautiful day up north. The sun's getting up earlier all the time. And for those of us making breakfast at 4:30 in the morning, to be able to look out the kitchen window and see the horizon start to light up a little bit at that hour, does the heart a lot of good. 32 degrees up here in Chippewa Falls right now, and hope you're having a good morning wherever you are. There's going to be an extra dose of Wisconsin Sense this morning. And when we talk about Wisconsin Sense, it just means, you know, the common sense that God gave a goose, you know, the things that are oftentimes seen in the medical journal Captain Obvious. Don't be a bully. Don't be a racist. Don't be a bigot. Don't violate the trust of your job. We're going to get into some of that. And if you heard the tail end of our show yesterday, we talked to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio. And we talked about a Wausau teacher reported multiple times for using language that belittled a student and was back on the job because administrators found that he was, quote, only using humor to create a fun environment. It sure doesn't sound like fun for the student, and not much of an example to set for the other students who were in the area. Chad and I both then saw that the Wausau Daily Herald did a follow-up story with far more details. Chad read it on the radio yesterday and got choked up reading what was happening. And let me make clear, nowhere in this was there any denial that these things happened, that, oh, you misheard and here's what he said instead. There was none of that. It was simply defending what the teacher did and that this should all be a learning experience. So we're going to talk a bit more about that during this hour. And then later, in a year with a record multi-billion dollar surplus, Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature took a look at a long list of ideas with broad bipartisan support and said, nah, and stripped it all out of Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal. And what, I tell you, gerrymandering, it's a heck of a drug. The things that they pulled out, we've talked a little bit about previously. We're going to come back to it as a reminder of where the Republicans running the Wisconsin legislature stand when it comes to helping your life be a little easier as we deal with a labor shortage, with childcare that is less accessible and less affordable, as we deal with everything from, you know, roads to schools to our natural resources to our safety from people with assault weapons. That and much more was contained in something that could have done a lot of good for folks, but did not. And we'll talk more about that during the day as well. And then Todd Alba joins us from the conveniently named Todd Alba Show before we wrap things up. Now, along the way, if you have questions, comments, want to put in your two cents at any point, if you have an opinion that you care to share with a statewide audience on more than half a dozen radio stations across Wisconsin, you can call, comment, or email. You can do that at 844-967-2789. The email is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, if you're instead of hearing us on the radio, watching the live feed of this on either the Facebook page for Up North News or Civic Media or Bull Falls Radio in Wausau, put a comment underneath. And if we see it and think it's worth sharing, we will put it up here on the screen as well. So we've got a lot to cover and a lot that we would like your comments on today. I would bring in now one Aaron Zommers and say hi. And again, rely on Aaron to be my Susie Sunshine for this morning, because once again, Aaron, I come in to find my computer had restarted, maybe done some software update or something like that. And, you know, you've had that issue with the production computer down there in the booth. So you feel my pain this morning.
Oh, definitely. And of course, everyone's personal computer does it too. It's not fun.
And it only seems to do it when you've got, several tabs open, things that you want to come back to that you need to bookmark, and then you need to restore the session and everything. But I look out the window and I realize that it's not that bad. I'm sitting in a nice office at home. I've got the window shut so the pollen doesn't bother me. I'm looking across the field, and I'm telling you, the farmers all around the state, they are planting like crazy. The tractors, they were disking, they were planting. They were going well past dark, with the headlights on the tractors. That is a life that I can only tip my cap to, because, suddenly my problems with a computer screen don't seem to be worth a hill of beans,
Plus, you have a lava lamp behind you. How exciting.
Oh, you noticed the lava lamp. Yes. I behind me, for folks watching on the video feed, again, this is my office at home. So it's primarily photographs of my kids, my grandkids, my siblings, my mom, my late father. And I decided it needed just a little bit more. So I've had a lava lamp, but it sat in front of me on my desk the whole time. I thought, well, why shouldn't I share that with you? I've had a gumball machine that I've had forever in all of my previous jobs. That was kind of my icebreaker to get to meet people, because it didn't have gumballs. It had M&Ms in it. So everybody wanted to stop by to get a few M&Ms. Aaron, I'm sorry that you can't stop by to get a few M&Ms, but at least you see it's back here next to the lava lamp.
At least I can look at it and then have a weird sudden craving for chocolate.
There you go. And then get your own M&Ms. Well, clearly, I know what I need to bring next time I come down for a visit. Let's take a break, and then we're going to get into what's being reported out of Wausau with a little lesson for respect for our teachers, the teachers who have earned our respect in return. We'll be back. You're up north. Allie has a birthday today.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
There are a lot of birthdays actually today, which is why some of the music has had to spill over into other sections. So again, a lot of birthdays, a lot of notes about this day in history coming up. In your email box right now, if you haven't clicked on it yet, if you subscribe, would be the daily newsletter that Up North News provides. Christina Laurie puts that together. And of course, we heard her yesterday with a preview of some of the stories. For example, why you don't have to wait anymore in waiting rooms at many doctor's offices as they change the way that they book appointments. Also, I have only mentioned briefly Ron Johnson's latest comment that climate change could be a good thing, even though many more people would die because, if the deaths aren't in Wisconsin, that's okay, right? Is apparently Senator Johnson's view. So there's an editorial about that in there. And also a story about how UW Health is now America's number one hospital for pancreas transplants. And, for folks like me who have had multiple family members with pancreatic issues, that's some good news to see the advances that are being made there. So for that and more, go to upnorthnewswi.com, and in the top banner, click on newsletter. You'll get subscribed. You'll get that every morning. Take a look as you're able to. Share it with a friend. Share the stories with a friend. Click on them and learn more. Time for sports now at 6:17. Again, the Brewers are out west. I managed to get through five innings, and really nothing was happening fast on it before I called it a night. Wake up to find out that the Colorado Rockies beat the Brewers last night 3-2. An eighth inning run scored by the Rockies broke the tie and led to the win. All was not lost. Rowdy Tellez, Bryce Terang, and Jesse Winker all each had two hits for the Brewers. And Tyrone Taylor is back on the roster. He was on the 10-day injured list with a right elbow sprain. Meanwhile, remember pitcher Gus Varland? He's the one who at first we thought took a line drive right to the face, but it actually had hit his hand and arm first to kind of cushion the blow, if you will, but it still injured his hand. Well, he's been at AAA Nashville. He's there now on a rehab assignment. So he continues to try to work his way back into Milwaukee. And Eric Lauer will be starting tonight for the Brewers. For Civic Media radio listeners, you can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support and also on News from the Center in Richland Center. And we would love to have you follow along once the Brewers come home. We hopefully will have some tickets for at least some, if not all of the games, for you to potentially win. Great seats. Would love to have you there. Now we're going to turn to the less than light and airy topic about what is happening in Wausau at East High School with a teacher accused of repeatedly using racial slurs and other hateful language. It's something I was a little hesitant to get into yesterday. There had been one story about it. A lot of it was, well, we think we're hearing that this teacher might be doing this or that. I talked to Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio late in the show yesterday. And right around that time, the Wausau Daily Herald, Natalie Albert, forgive me if I mispronounce your name, Natalie, a very long and a very troubling read, but extremely thorough by Natalie about the incidents, the investigations, and the surprising outcome so far. And Natalie Albert covers mental health issues for the USA Today Network Wisconsin and clearly did her homework in making sure that this full story came to light. Now, by full story, I don't mean that we've heard from the teacher in question, because that person has not made comments. And we, of course, aren't sharing the name of the student either. And, you know, because this is a statewide radio show, we're just going to keep it to the teacher and the student at this point, at least. It will be clear from what you're hearing from this story that this teacher should not have been reinstated. This teacher needs to go. And understand where I'm coming from on this. I feel like I've spent a good chunk of my adult life fighting on behalf of and alongside of our public school teachers. They are heroes. But when you have a bad apple in your ranks, you can either circle the wagons around that person, or you can say, you're making us all look bad. I don't want anybody thinking that we're like this. And you jettison them. This teacher had defenders, had students who came to speak on his behalf. And I know of at least one conservative blogger talking head in the Wausau area who put up an article about this teacher's name being dragged through the mud because of these accusations. I would really like to know what he thinks and what those students think after reading this, because keep this in mind. And I'm going to use the word jerk instead of the stronger word I would like to use. Plenty of people are well-liked. Plenty of people are well-respected. Plenty of people do their jobs well most of the time, but can still be a jerk, shall we say, and be accused of terrible things. And then it turns out, surprisingly, they did terrible things. And again, lacking any, not just any denial, any hint of a denial, but excuses instead, it appears that the things that are mentioned in this Wausau Daily Herald article are the kinds of things that happened to this Asian American young man who was a student at Wausau East, who is also openly gay, and that the slurs used by this teacher were racist, they were sexist, they were homophobic, and yet the school district said that while the teacher, quote, engaged in insensitive and unprofessional conduct, his comments caused unease, but did not rise to the level of more serious consequences. And you'll recall that Chad and I said late yesterday that what passes for unease to an adult can be traumatic for a child. And I mean a high school student too. You're young and you are being bullied by a teacher. And according to the reports kept by the parents, which had been shared with the school principal, and which according to these incidents, had sometimes been witnessed by other students and or teachers. When you are repeatedly using the word chink, when you are repeatedly using the phrase ching chong and doing it as a band instructor, for example, to the beat of cymbals repeatedly, that's not humor. It's not at all. This is a teacher who was, after a couple of these incidents, was told in so many words, just stay away from the student. Don't engage with the student. And yet did show up one day for play rehearsals and sat in the front row. This is, according to one of the reports, the teacher mentioned that prom was coming up and told the students in class to be sure they got fitted for their tuxes, unless this male student wants to wear a dress. And again, teachers, students, principal had heard about this, knew about it, or witnessed it, depending on the situation. It finally got to the point where the student, who was getting excellent grades, who was in excellent health, had been bullied to the point where he stopped going to school. And certainly not the first time an LGBT youth feeling bullied and belittled has said that this environment is too much. The Wausau School District's Director of Human Resources conducted an investigation into the complaint. In a letter, the superintendent sent a letter to the student's family summarizing the investigation and its conclusion, saying that the human resources director had interviewed multiple students who said that the teacher uses humor to engage students and create a fun environment. It concluded the district should address the conduct and engage an outside consultant to work with staff and students to address cultural competency, but said nothing about more directly addressing the teacher's conduct. The superintendent went on to say in a news release, "What do successful people and successful organizations do when expectations aren't met? Do we reject the people who don't meet those expectations? Sometimes yes, when the behavior calls for it. When appropriate, a preferred path is to use the situation to grow from. This is our path. When we reject people who do not meet expectations, we foster division." What? We are using this as a situation to grow from. You admitted that when people don't meet certain expectations, you do reject those people. You acknowledge it yourself, and yet you say in this issue that the defense of using humor to create a fun learning environment this is a case of no harm, no foul. Do you think that this young student feels this way? Do you think that this LGBT youth feels this way? Do you feel like this Asian American thinks this has all been in fun? When I defend teachers and public schools as much as I do, it's because I understand they are not there first and foremost to just teach reading, writing, arithmetic, and be done with it. They are not automatons. They are not robots. They are real human beings who understand that if your learning environment is hostile, you're not going to learn, or worse. They understand the crises of mental health in young people, especially those who are in vulnerable populations. Those same teachers and educators that we defend, if they had seen something like this, then while they may have been hesitant, let's use this experience as a learning experience, as the superintendent says, going forward for other people. For this teacher, as far as I'm concerned, it's too late. That he's been reinstated, in my mind, is a condition for, yeah, today he is. But is there really going to be a fun learning environment around this teacher any further? And going forward, let's take these incidents more seriously. Let's essentially, you know, nip something in the bud and not make excuses for it. Because if you're a bully, then you get away with being a bully, even though you've been chided. Does it make you less likely to be a bully? No, it means you're going to double down. And that's apparently what this teacher did, to read through this long list of reports. It does not have to be that way. If you have thoughts or comments on this, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. More on the other side of this break. You're up north.
Follow Up North News with our daily newsletter. Go to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and click newsletter on the top banner. Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
I've got plenty to be thankful for.
Another birthday today. This is the date Bing Crosby was born. Again, we'll talk more about the birthdays coming up in today's history lesson and music break in, just about 15 minutes or so. Our studio line is 844-967-2789. We just got done talking about how a student from a minority group can be bullied culturally, racially insensitive. We talked about how an LGBT youth can be bullied by homophobic and sexist comments. We can tell you example after example after example of how we have a ways to go in this country in terms of, shall we say, being better people. I'm sorry, the word apparently now is woke. What do we always say on the show? Woke is simply a four-letter word for don't be a bigot, don't be a jerk, don't be a racist. And yet somehow the anti-woke movement continues to move along, as I'm going to tell you about Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and what he's now proposing. But before I get there, one more example of how we've got a little ways to go yet. Somehow or another, Tucker Carlson got to be the number one evening cable show in the country. I will never understand it because he's always been a little weasel. But now it became clear a long time ago that he's not just a racist weasel, he's a white supremacist. He's a flat-out white supremacist who embraces dictators and played along with Donald Trump trying to steal an election even when he knew it wasn't true. But back to the racism. A text message sent by Tucker Carlson that hadn't previously been known widely set off alarm bells at the highest levels of Fox News on the eve of that billion-dollar defamation trial. According to the New York Times, whose article here, almost the discovery of the message contributed to a chain of events that ultimately led to his firing. In a message in the hours after the January 6th attack, Carlson sent a message to one of his producers and talked about watching some of the video, and in one case, video of a group of men, Trump supporters, attacking a kid. Of course, he called him an Antifa kid. Three against one, he said. And at times, he said he felt communion with the attackers, that he wanted this kid beaten up, but then later changed his mind, as he says in the text. But what really ignited things was the way that he expressed dismay that the Trump supporters, the attackers violently beating this kid, had the same color skin as him. He said, jumping a guy like that is dishonorable, obviously. It's not how white men fight. It's not how white men fight. Tucker Carlson, for years and years, has amplified white supremacy and white nationalism. But the text message, as the article correctly says, revealed more about his views on racial superiority. And Fox News was not quite ready for that text message and God knows what else to come out in the trial. And so ultimately, rather than being further humiliated, I mean, they already knew. Their goose was cooked in this trial, and the trial was about the 2020 election and Dominion suing for defamation. But they were going to get the hosts on the witness stand, Dominion was. And then they were going to be confronted not only with that text message, which we didn't know about till yesterday, but goodness knows how much else that is out there from a network that has over and over and over again attacked political correctness, attacked inclusiveness, and attacked not being racist, attacked diversity and inclusion. And it's what's led to the attacks by Republicans on not only things like affirmative action programs, but just the notion of inclusiveness. You know, we heard all about CRT, critical race theory, which is not a thing outside of law school, but it became shorthand for teaching an honest view of history, an honest view of racism in America, how it still exists today, at the very least at institutional levels, based on the lack of equality in opportunity. Again, not equality of outcomes, equality of opportunity. And denigrating all of this as some kind of, you know, namby-pamby liberal this or that. And it spreads now to the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, Robin Voss, in a new story just posted at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Kelly Meyerhofer. The state's top Republican wants to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at public universities and hinted at budget cuts if the University of Wisconsin system fails to make a good faith effort on his request. This is the priority of the top Republican in Wisconsin. This white guy from Racine is going to cut funding for University of Wisconsin campuses for all students unless they make an attempt to get rid of diversity, equity, and inclusion offices and programs. The way that Voss put it in talking to the Milwaukee Journal, he said, if they want to increase their funding, they have to show they can prioritize things to grow the economy, not grow the racial divide. And there it is again, that calling out racism is somehow racist. That being honest about America's history and long struggle with race is exacerbating a divide, because they're not looking to close the divide. They're looking to cover it up. They're looking to put a tarp over it and then another shovel full of dirt or two and call it good, even though the chasm remains and the opportunity gaps remain. This comes just as the Joint Finance Committee is beginning its work on actually plugging numbers into a state budget. They held public hearings for the past couple of weeks, and then yesterday began the process of sitting in their room in the Capitol and saying, okay, what numbers should we plug into the budget for this, this, and this? The very first thing they did had nothing to do with the numbers in the budget. The first thing they did was juvenile political spite, saying to Governor Tony Evers, as they've done the past two budget cycles since Evers took office, we're going to take your budget and we're going to put it in this trash can. And we're going to basically just start from the base budget from last year, which is also where the governor starts. You start with the base budget and then you say, what are your priorities? And you put things into it. And Governor Evers put a lot into it because there's a lot of work to do in the state. As I've said before, Governor Evers is willing to do the work. The size of his budget bill shows it. While others say, well, that size represents bureaucracy and spending. No, it represents work. It represents investment. It represents a real belief in our future. But it's a future that could be addressed better if we made childcare affordable, if we had paid family leave in the state, if we had better gun safety rules, if we made it easier to vote, not harder to vote, if we expanded Medicaid so that more people had health insurance instead of more uncompensated care and more illness. In every one of these areas, you don't have to agree with Governor Evers to at least be respectful and say, well, let's talk about each one of these. And let's see if that number should be what you want, Governor. I know some people in my Republican caucus want it to be zero, but some others, you know, would just like a smaller amount than what you're putting in. Let's talk about it. That's how budgets were done until now, when this group running this legislature for these past dozen years and these past couple with Tony Evers in office, four plus, have said, no, we're going to make a big symbol. We're going to engage in the political symbolism of saying we reject the whole thing out of hand. And then they're going to build it back up. They're going to put in some things. But the fact that they have to start this way speaks volumes. And to hear their comments yesterday in the Joint Finance Committee, again, showed a hubris and arrogance that if you just continue to say the same things like, you know, tax and spend and big government, if you use those magic words enough times, yeah, some people will believe you. But other people will look and see that you got rid of things that have strong support from your Republican constituents and your Democratic constituents. I recall hearing one Republican senator saying, well, you say these are bipartisan things, but I don't hear any constituents talking about it to me. Really? Are you a pollster? Because yeah, the people you're talking to are going to have a bit of a slant to them compared to who in your district answers poll questions. I'd love to go into some of these districts. The Marquette poll is statewide. I'd love to go into some of these Republican districts and do some polling. And I think those Republican representatives and senators would be in for a big surprise. So when we talk about saving money here, let's come back to that diversity, equity, and inclusion program at the UW system. It makes sure that, according to the story here, that individuals who come from communities historically discriminated against feel welcome during their time on campus. They're not made to feel the way that Wausau teacher made that one student feel. They help expand enrollment beyond traditional students. And this is at a time when enrollment is down and colleges are looking to, you know, make college more attractable to more people. The UW spends annually about $13 million on 185 administrators related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. That $13 million in salaries, do you know how much of the full UW system budget it is? The full UW system budget is $7 billion, $7 billion. This thing that has triggered Robin Voss, $13 million, is 0.2% of the UW system's total budget. And yet, Robin Voss is threatening so much more than 0.2% of UW system funding if they don't cave in to his demands. It's not that different than their so-called shared revenue plan, which says that if Milwaukee, for example, wants more money, they're going to have to cave in to our demands on exactly how to spend the money. These are the kinds of things that bullies do. It appears to have been our theme here, that when you come from a place of privilege and you just expect that everybody is on an equal basis because that's the way you want to see the world, you can make these demands of others. And in some cases, you get what you want, but please don't take getting what you want as an endorsement of the tactics or an endorsement of your values. Today's history lesson and a little music break coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Anybody asks for more. My needs are small, buy them all, 5 and 10 cent store. Oh, I've got plenty to be thankful for.
I almost feel like I'm challenging myself now. How long will I let Christopher Cross play on the show? I'll do the nice little instrumental part, but I had to jump in before he did. It's Christopher Cross's birthday today. He is 62 years old today. I mentioned Derbingle was born on this date in 1903. Bing Crosby passed away in 1977. Who were we talking about yesterday about nicknames or where they got their name? Engelbert Humperdinck, right?
Right, yeah.
So here's the one on Bing Crosby. Bing Crosby was born Harry Lillis Crosby Jr. His nickname was given to him by a neighbor after a newspaper comic character named Bingo. So, you know, you get these nicknames when you're young. I somehow got the nickname the Forgetful One because I forgot to send the link to Melissa Kate till 2 seconds ago, but she's here now. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh, pretty good. You're not good. The only one that was running behind this morning.
Okay, well, good. Then I feel better about that. So how are things in beautiful, locally grown radio WFHR land?
Oh, we're doing great. You know, I love local radio because we get to bring people on like Shelby the Pet Nanny.
Shelby the Pet Nanny?
Yeah. Oh, we had her on our morning show yesterday, and she was so wonderful. Like, if you want someone to take care of your pets like they're your children, you want to call her.
That's so awesome. All right. Well, good. I'm glad to hear about that. So we mentioned Christopher Cross is 62. This is the anniversary of the birth of Bing Crosby, also of Pete Seeger, also the Godfather of Soul, James Brown. I'm going to wait for some like a Friday to have an excuse to play a little James Brown. We already heard from Frankie Valli. Frankie Valli still what's 89 years old today.
Wow.
I know. I have not seen Jersey Boys. Have you seen the play?
No.
I really want to. I hope I get to at some point. The story of them getting started, going from a street corner, you know, doo-wop group into superstardom. Yeah. Let's move our way to 1975, the number one hit on this day. What is today? May 3rd, 1975 was this one by Tony Orlando and Dawn. If he did, he wouldn't what, Melissa? Break your heart.
Your heart. That's it.
All right. Bruce Hall is 70, bassist and one of the vocalists for REO Speedwagon. David Ball is 64, part of Soft Cell, the electronic music group. And country singer Eric Church, 46. You an Eric Church aficionado by chance?
No.
No?
I mean, he's got a really nice voice, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's somebody with a distinctive voice, again, no longer with us, but he had the number one song on this day in 1986. That would be Robert Palmer. You remember the first time you saw that video with all the heavily made up girls dressed the same and moved, you know, they were part
of
the band?
Not really, because I never got to watch TV videos like that.
What?
No.
You weren't exposed to the early days of MTV or Friday Night Videos or
not.
Anything
but I
else
did
like
get
that.
To sing the song in the band, the rock band I was in.
Nice.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow. How about you, Aaron? You remember seeing this video?
I don't know if I remember specifically a first time, but I remember seeing this and then Shania Twain's Man, I Feel Like a Woman. We're like, ha, oh, that's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah, that was actually that was actually a very good spoof on it. Let's see. This day in 1993, New Order released their sixth album, Republic. It got as high as number 11 on the charts. On this day in 2005, Fall Out Boy's second album, From Under the Cork Tree, debuted at number 9 on the album chart. And let's see, Lil Wayne topped the singles chart on this day in 2008 with Lollipop.
I said he's so sweet. Come on, the rapper. So I let it.
It sounds so much like the Andrew Sisters when we were playing them yesterday. I mean, that's just, you know.
It's not what I think of when I hear Lollipop. Lollipop.
Yep. Times have changed.
A little bit.
Let's see. On this day in 2010, the Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling, became the best-selling digital song of all time.
I got a feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be.
So here's the deal. It has this record, no pun intended. It has the record as the best selling digital song of all time. On this day in 2010, it broke the record by getting 5.5 million downloads, and it continues to sell well. It's now up to 8 million downloads, but it will probably always have the record for downloads because people don't download anymore. They've shifted to streaming.
True.
So it's quite possible the Black Eyed Peas will have this downloaded thing forever.
It's possible.
Although to me, it's also like, you know, before there were 45s, there were 78s. Did you ever see a 78, ever play a 78 record?
Oh, the little ones?
Yeah, the little one, yeah.
I have one right over there.
Do you? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody.
It's a Willie Nelson.
See, yeah, somebody's got the record for the all-time sales of 78s. I wouldn't expect that to be broken anytime soon either. You know, I don't think they're making them. You get your history. Okay, now Aaron and I put these things together the night before. Okay, we don't do a lot of advanced research, shall we say? So yesterday was the anniversary of the military saying the beer barrel polka was too lusty to be used as a marching song for training troops back in 1943.
Too lusty. Wow.
Well, through honest to God, a sheer coincidence, it was on this day in 1939 that the Andrew Sisters recorded this very lusty rendition of the Beer Barrel Polka.
There's a garden. What a garden. Only happy faces bloom there.
And on and on it goes, and it gets to the chorus. I mean, control yourself, Melissa. Control yourself.
I don't know if I can. It's so lusty.
It just turns us into wild beasts. I swear.
I do want a polka, though.
Oh, hey, I will do that anytime. I mean,
absolutely.
Literally, I am so thankful to live in Chippewa Falls that has an Oktoberfest. I've been down to the one in La Crosse. I still get email all the time from Molly B from her polka show. Because nice. I wrote to it once to get a gift for my parents who watch her show every Saturday night. So yeah, I'll polka any old time. Mm-hmm. What else you got going on up there at WFHR?
You know, we have a great polka show that plays on Saturday mornings on WFHR. Tim does an awesome job with polka music on our station. You should check it out.
He plays at
7 and again at like, I want to say 11 or 10, something like that.
Okay.
But he does an amazing polka show for us.
Oh, that makes me happy because, yeah. Like I said, my in-laws listen to a Saturday morning polka show as well. And you can just tell. It's just it's happy music for happy people.
My grandpa taught me to polka.
Your grandpa's a good man. Thanks, Melissa.
Good to see you both.
Good to see you too. All right. We'll be back with another hour after this, except you folks in Wisconsin Rapids. This is Up North News Radio.